Hi, everyone. Thank you for downloading the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I wanted to just drop in here and remind you that I will be releasing weekly episodes until this craziness in the world ends. Not ends, but, you know, until we resolve it. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. If you could just take a moment, if you do care so, head on over and leave us a review anywhere you can do. It costs nothing, and it really means a lot. Also, share with your friends. If you have a friend who's really into Little House on the Prairie, you might have heard of that TV show. Just shoot it over to them. We truly would appreciate it. Thank you so much. And without further ado, here you go. The newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. Short. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. Just a little bit. I want to welcome to the show today, Angela Bowen. How are you, Angela?
I'm doing good.
Great. I'm so excited for this episode, and I think that this is the episode that we're going to cover is a really sweet one. But before we jump into this episode, I have a question about Silver Spoons, the TV show from the 1980s that I used to watch. And I wanted to know if you could talk about your podcasts that you're just constantly working. I think you're a lot like I am. You're a shark. It's addicting. You have to keep
Silver
recording.
Silver Spoons, I would have started that. It's called Together, We're Gonna Find Our Way.
Awesome.
And just because it's the theme song. And I started that right after I finished the four seasons of Punky Brewster in August of 2008. And I figured it's done by the same people. It's on the same network. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to dig to be able to, season one is on DVD. The season two through five is you got to go find somebody who happen to have it.
Really?
So
this is Silver Spoons or Punky Brewster that is unavailable?
Spoons, all four seasons of Punky Brewster, you can find all of those on Amazon. I guess they also have them streaming on the NBC site.
Yeah. Why is that? Did you ever find a reason behind why some episodes just are unavailable?
Oh, as far as Silver Spoons?
Yes.
They kind of chalk it up to the DVD sales for the first season, of course, didn't do well, mm-hmm. which is surprising, and they just stopped producing them. Hmm. So I had to search for a while. I said, if I'm doing this podcast, I'm doing all the seasons. And I looked and I asked and I found somebody and I'm like, okay, let me give you this. And they're basically just off the television. Yeah. And
it's weird because the more I'm working on another podcast to release, and it's called Retro TV. And I'm learning more and more as I dig deeper into some of these TV shows that the rights kind of get wacky for some episodes. Mm-hmm. The Brady Bunch is a good example, where there are just some episodes that are unavailable on streaming or really anywhere except on maybe DVD sets from late 90s. I just think that that's kind of strange. I think I can't seem to get totally a straight answer. There's also a lot of stuff out there that has yet to make it to streaming. I want to say make it to DVD, but who buys DVDs anymore?
That's the thing. I think they're not going to make them, especially the older shows. I think more than likely will mm-hmm. find their way to streaming sites over DVD, just because it probably costs less to put it on a streaming site versus mass producing it. And then if the sales aren't good, then they're not going to keep pushing them out, and then you're stuck with, well, I got the first season, but I want to watch. Same thing with Small Wonder. Only the two seasons have been released, and then you got 3 and 4, and good luck if you can find them in quality that you can hear.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, WizKids is a good example of that. It's a show that I don't think it did very well.
That, right?
Yes, Matthew Labrador's in that, and it's a computer hacking thing. So it's funny to go from the 19th century morphine addiction to 1983 Southern California hacker, which is kind of funny. But like Max Gale is in it, Max Gale from Barney Miller. And I love the show as a kid. Now, I don't think it did very well at all, which is might be one of the number one reasons why it never made it to DVD or streaming. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized is as I get older, it's off my radar if a show did well in the ratings. I mean, aside from the fact that if there's multiple seasons.
I think it's also got to have a following. I mean,
mm-hmm.
with viewers and stuff like that. And I'm just surprised that Punky Brewster did well. But then again, Silver Spoons came out beforehand. And
Punky Brewster was a weird one. Well, you know what? Small Wonder and Punky Brewster.
Wonder was just bonkers out there. I was watching Different Strokes, and I'm realizing two premises came out of that show. Punky Brewster with the whole foster kid type of aspect. And then you have Silver Spoons, which is a kid realizing, like, he's meeting his dad for the first time, who happens to be rich, which is kind of the same. These two kids get thrown into the situation where they go from Harlem to living on Park Avenue with a rich guy and having to adjust to that and all that. And, like, it's just interesting how you see those two aspects for those two shows.
Mm-hmm. What I always thought was weird, though, and I could be wrong here, but I remember Small Wonder and Punky Brewster both not having normal time slots. I believe Sunday at 7 or something like that was from Punky Brewster, something along those lines. And Small Wonder, at least in New York, I think it was on like on Saturdays at like 6.
And both those shows, I think I started watching them once they were in syndication. I don't think I ever watched Punky Brewster when it was actually airing because it ended in 87, 88.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been maybe, well, I was aware of Punky Brewster and the cartoon on Saturday mornings, which that was bonkers weird when you threw in a magical furry creature from Shandoon.
That was off my radar. I kind of stopped watching cartoons at a pretty early age. By fifth grade, I kind of had moved away from cartoons. But what do you think is the weirdest Silver Spoons episode?
Oh my goodness.
Because I have one that sticks
one
with
that
me.
I rated it a 2 on my scale. Was season 2's Mr. President. Oh my god. It's all set up in Rick's mind about him being the president of the U.S. and having to deal with some incoming, like, Russian issues. And it's just like, it's all built up in his head. And it's like 23 minutes of this fantasy. And I'm like, oh my god. And that was like the lowest I'd ever rated. And I thought nothing could be worse, but I covered the Barbarians in season 4. And I'm like, I've never done this. I'm rating it a 1 out of 5.
Wow.
That was horrible. I mean, I like John Houseman. He's okay. Grandfather Stratton, but we're getting too much of him.
No.
But that made me feel like, I even said, like, I am kind of ready to wrap this up, and I still have season 5 to get through.
The episode that stood out for me as being one of the most unrealistic ones, I mean, there are so many that are crazy, was the one where Rick has a friend who's homeless, and they find that his family lives in a cave.
On their property.
And what they do is they don't give them a house because that might embarrass them. They retrofit the cave to have all of the luxuries of home.
Exactly.
But you still live in a cave.
Exactly. I mean, at the end, he does give him a job at his factory, and we don't.
Not a house, though.
But that was little Joey Lawrence.
Was it Joey Lawrence?
Yeah, that little boy.
Oh my God! Hey, what was that guy? What was his tagline? He had
Oh, on Blossom.
Yeah.
It was whoa.
Whoa! Yeah. I never watched Blossom though, but I know taglines. All right, back to 1874.
Yes.
We have to go back to, we have to go about 100 years back, about 90 years, actually, if we're leaving from the '80s. Mm-hmm. To an episode that was our Thanksgiving episode for 1974.
Was it really? Oh, and this is a doozy.
Yeah, this is November 20th, 1974. It is a doozy. I think this is a perfect Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of them just aren't. They don't follow. I need a list of which episodes came out during a certain time. But this one feels very appropriate for me. It's season one. We're kind of... I don't know. There's something about season one, of course, that's hungry. It's like we want to do our best to get a season mm-hmm. two. And this episode really just doesn't at all... it doesn't fail to offer that. Do you want to talk about what the name of this episode is and all that stuff?
Yeah, this episode is entitled The Raccoon.
The Raccoon?
Yeah.
It's a great episode. This is a very memorable episode. This is the stray cat episode, like, you know, bringing home a stray dog or a stray cat type of thing.
Yes.
This is also a wonderful cautionary tale.
It really is about
sort of actually.
Wild animals and whether you can, you should even bring them into your home. I mean,
well, it's a weird message at the end. That
kind it of, really is.
But we open up and we have Laura playing with a porcelain doll, which I was not aware that they could afford because they're country girls just exactly. 8 episodes ago. So
and it had a porcelain head to it. I don't know what was under that dress. I don't want to know, but
The way these dolls were made is basically it's a rag doll and they put the porcelain head in. And usually the hands and the head are porcelain. And you could actually swap them out. I looked it up in my it's a little bit newer than what they would have used, but in my Montgomery Ward catalog from 1895, let me just get to the page, my unabridged copy, we have, also we had a lot more games than I realized, board games.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to actually scan this page and post it, but yeah, the price is about accurate for what was being said, because Laura drops, well, rather... Laura's playing with her doll. She loves this doll. And Mary.
The doll's name is Janet.
Yeah, and Mary's jealous, we think.
Oh, yeah.
My conspiracy theory.
Like, I want to play. It's a game called Two Cat or Three Cat.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a version of, like, between baseball and Monkey in the Middle.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. But so. The doll breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Into a million pieces. And even Pa can't fix it. I have that little
really,
clip.
Caroline's like, oh, look, these two fit together. It's like, yeah, Carolyn. Here, try this dust. That's the rest of the face.
He gets really mad at her about that one. But here's that clip.
He's like, can't we, like, afford it maybe? And he's like, well, it's winter. No, we don't have any extra money. The kids will get over it. It'll be fine.
Actually, yeah. That's basically summing up the thing. But, what Mary does is Mary's like, all right, well, you know what? I have 11 cents. I'm going to go to the mercantile, and I'm going to see how much a replacement porcelain head would be. Here's the dark truth that's going to happen.
Here we are, bisque doll heads. Yes, I can order one, but they ask a sight of money.
How much?
Well, with movable eyes, that's the best grade. $1.20.
$1.20.
Oh my God.
Now that is worth, a dollar is equal to about $25.
Oh wow.
So yeah, you're looking probably at about $32-$33 or something. I'm looking in here and I'm looking at all these games and I really can't wait to scan these. They actually have a planchette board, which is essentially a Ouija board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's a Ouija board I've never seen before, which I think is interesting. So that I'm really going to point out. But they have games that, regular games, but things like the Columbus Egg Puzzle and the Yale-Harvard game, the Game of Travel.
Yale-Harvard game?
Whew. Yes, exactly. The Limited Mail and Express. The Game of Hoppity. So I'll scan those and post it in WannaCraftCast. So all Mary has is 11 cents. Get to it. Count your money.
Do they have one for 11 cents?
Yeah, right.
50. He just snorts. He's like, why are you wasting my time, Mary? You have any exactly. eggs?
Good thing Harriet wasn't having to deal with this. I can only imagine her like...
No. That'd be so funny. Yeah, I don't believe Harriet's in this episode.
That's probably just as well.
Yeah, but Nelly is, and Willie, of course. Oh. So, some of the funniest lines are in this episode. So what happens? Mary's like, all right, she's trying to do the right thing because it's kind of her fault. And she sees, on her way home, she sees a baby raccoon, right? And what does she do with it? She brings it home. It's not a great idea.
No.
But, you know, like a big sister, you know, she's clearly not, it's not a malicious thing. It's just one of those things where it's just not a good idea.
It's almost like I couldn't afford to replace your doll, but here's something better. It's a living, breathing creature.
We also have Jack snarling at the camera in a way that I've never seen Jack snarl. I took a screenshot of it and I'll post that as well. We also have a lot of shirtless Michael Landon for you ladies or men. It's fine. a very tanned, nipple laden Michael Landon.
And I was looking at, not Jack, the nameless raccoon.
Jasper. Well, Jasper, future Jasper.
Yes, Jasper. And the way Laura's holding it like a baby, like you cradle a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching this thing and I'm like, they clearly give it a sedative because I watch it open its mouth and it's like closing its mouth. Its tongue is like hanging out the tongue like multiple times. Like it clearly has got a sedative.
Yeah. I mean, raccoons are pretty dangerous. Do you have raccoons?
My dog, when I was a teenager, would get into fights with raccoons. I'd hear it while I was trying to sleep. And then it would, of course, kill the raccoon. And then the raccoon would be on the lawn for like literally 3 days straight. I'd get off the school bus, sniff the air. And I'd be like, well, Dad still hasn't taken care of that raccoon. Oof. 3 days later.
We used to get raccoons when I lived in a town called Seaford Harbor. And we also got possums. Actually, you know what? No. We took down our pool here. And while it was draining, I look in our backyard and I see two huge raccoons drinking the water. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they're huge. And actually, now that I think about it, just a few months ago, my dog ran out and saw a raccoon and started like sniffing him. And I'm yelling, Yoki, no! Because Yoki's a little dog.
But probably about the same size as like a full grown raccoon.
About half the size, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. I have two very small dogs. But the raccoon just kind of climbed the fence and, you know, very slowly climbed the fence and got away. I have one poodle. And he's like a miniature poodle. And we get a lot of squirrels. Squirrels love our area. And he will catch squirrels, which is crazy to see because, you know, they're hunters, you know, poodles. And he just darts and he'll jump into the air and land on the tail. And the squirrel will kind of have a look of, like, what's going on and turn around and screech, which will scare the crap out of my dog. And my dog will let go.
Wow.
It goes, or hisses or something. I can't make the sound.
Wow.
We have a lot of stuff going on here in Long Island. But, all right. So we bring home Jasper. We bring home a stray. Oops. That's Jack.
Oh, it's the nicest little fellow.
They probably gave the raccoon a little peanut butter, too, maybe.
To make him
keep licking his lips.
It won't.
What?
Oh, no.
I really have it? Mm-hmm. I brought it home just for you, but I'll share it, I promise.
Ma's breaking those.
She didn't say, get that thing out of my house!
Yeah, like, this is, this carries lice and fleas and...
You're like, here, Carrie, you want to pet it? It's about like, half the size of Carrie.
Right. Poor Carrie.
You want to pet it, Carrie?
I'd be like, no! I'd be, get that thing away from me! Yeah, you're right. The, I keep wanting to call him a squirrel. The raccoon is pretty big, too. This is not a baby raccoon.
No, oh, no. She wants it to sleep in her bed. And if I were Mary, I'd be like, you know we share a bed, right?
Right.
I get a say?
Well, it's Mary's fault, as
well. Yeah, she brought it in there.
This is another episode where we kind of see a side of Mary that I think, in general, history has ridden away.
Oh, yeah.
Mary is a very bossy, very grumpy person, and she really shows her true colors here. I think that I like the fact that she's more like this. It makes her more human to me. Because as I was growing up, Mary never seemed to me to be very human.
Mm-mm.
She seemed a lot like the robot in Small Wonder, actually. What was her name? I forget.
Vicky.
And it stood for something, right?
Voice indicate computer whatever, something or other.
It should have been Alexa or something.
Yeah.
as I just activated everyone's Alexa device. Alexa fart. You know, that's what my son does. It says, Alexa fart. And it farts.
And like, make cat sounds.
Oh my God. Yeah, we make dog sounds and our dogs bark. So here we go.
Looks like he's in a good mood.
For once.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and Ma's just like, oh, we'll see. My sedative's kicking in.
Yeah, her sedative. They gave her one, too.
It's like she just doesn't seem to have much of an opinion. Or she's like, well, he'll be the sensitive man of the house. You think
exactly.
That's it?
Hi, everybody.
Oh, his eyes go right to that raccoon.
It's like, hi, Pa.
Did you get the raccoon?
Mary gave him to me. Found him out in the woods. I'm going to make a pit out of it.
I'm going to make a hat out of it. That's what Pa wants to do.
I've been looking for a coonskin cap. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. That's. You know, I wonder, can you still buy coonskin hats? I'm going to look it up.
I thought you could. Probably at those old, like.
Like a powwow.
Yeah.
Sorry, that wouldn't work.
I gave it to her, Pa, so she wouldn't miss her doll so much.
It's like, what makes you think that you giving her a gift makes it okay?
Yeah, so that trumps his say-so?
Yeah, listen to Mary's getting in his face. Listen to this.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work. The animal's not a kitten or a puppy dog. He's wild. He's got no more place living in a house than he'd have living in a wolf den. It makes sense trying to make a pet out of an animal who's born to run loose.
But, Pa, look how gentle he is. I wouldn't have brought him home for Laura if he was wild.
It's like, can you cut the cameras? Can you make sure that raccoon's still breathing?
Exactly.
He seems to be drooling.
Yeah, not much. His eyes look a little glazed over.
I also like how Ma's on way on the other side of the table. Nowhere near that thing.
Stay over there.
Mary's gentle now because he's a baby. You wait a little while. That animal's big as a dog and nowhere near as reliable.
Big as a dog.
I do want to also mention that the first thing that Pa does when he comes at home, comes to the house, is wash his hands.
There we go.
That's what everyone who's listening to this episode should be doing. this episode is extremely relevant for the time that we're in because, well, we'll get to it, I guess.
Yeah.
A coon like that could really hurt somebody.
Well, if he grew up with us, he'd be tame.
Half pint. If he was tame, he'd be the first tame raccoon I've ever seen, and I've seen an awful lot of them. No more arguing about it. Just take him outside, play with him for a little while, and then turn him loose back in the woods where he belongs.
Or I'll shoot him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reality here. And they are mad. They have never been this mad at Pa. I mean, I don't even think
guilt him so hard.
Well, like, and Ma, too. It's not great.
Like, listen to your father.
Yeah.
He's just a baby. Like Carrie. You wouldn't leave Carrie out in the woods, would you?
Actually.
yeah, about that.
Yeah, well, we're going to go and... yeah, and the bottom line is this. If this episode had changed and ended a different way, Carrie might not have ever come back from the woods.
That's true.
Now, that was a silly thing to say.
And Carrie's unfazed by it. It's like, thanks. Like, are we leaving me in the woods?
Really?
Giving your father enough bother. Now, do as he says.
Oh, someone has
to go on and take him outside.
I'm sorry, Laura. I never thought Pa would say no.
Excuse me?
That, I mean, it's, I'm a pretty strict parent, but that would really upset me.
Yeah. That
you're trying to, like, seriously? Like, you know what? Keep, you know, that's what I would put. All right, keep it. Okay? Keep the stupid animal. And maybe that's what he really did say.
Yeah, really. Once it claws your face, that's on you. I told you, get rid of it.
Right. It's kind of like, it'll be like going to the doctor.
Yeah.
So Ma's kind of like giving the same kind of look, like, oh, it would be nice to have a raccoon around here.
Yeah, I already got 3 kids underfoot. Let's add a 4th with this raccoon.
Right, and this shaggy dog that nobody seems to brush.
Everyone just hates on Jack this episode. Jack, get out of here!
Jack is my favorite of all of the animals that have ever been in the Little House on the Prairie. He looks like a big, dirty version of my Maltese dog.
Aww.
And that's what I want his kind of dog in the future. The only difference is my Maltese does not shed.
Okay.
I have a feeling that Jack, which I believe is a sheepdog, does shed. I don't know if I can handle
like that.
I don't know if I can handle a shedding dog. First world problems, right?
I got a cat and a rabbit, and there are just clouds of like fur just all over the place.
Cat and a rabbit.
Yeah.
You get another hat. What is your rabbit's name?
London.
London, and what's the cat?
Quinn.
Quinn in London. It's almost kind of like
a hamster, yeah, whose name is Liesel.
Weasel?
Liesel.
Oh, like weasel with an L. Like Liesel.
Yeah, like Liesel. I mean, people thought it was like from The Sound of Music. I'm like, well, it's actually from The Book Thief, but yeah.
Well, we love our animals.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here's Ma kind of guilting a little bit.
No, I think what you said was very sensible.
But you would just assume I wouldn't be so sensible this time.
You know, the kids really should be doing the string beams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all you're doing is breaking them. Come on.
Well, it's just that Laura's been missing her doll so much.
All right.
He's a sucker. He's a complete sucker. He saw him coming. So he goes outside where everyone's like, I hope he dies. You know, like terrible things. You can almost see her saying it. Like, I don't love you. And then running away or something. Mary doesn't have glasses at this point, right? This is way before Four Eyes.
The raccoon.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, I jumped ahead.
All right, you can keep the raccoon.
Hey, thanks, Ma. Is that just for? Going to be my pet.
No, hold on. He's not going to be a pet. You're just going to tend to him until he's big enough to take care of himself, and that's going to be a lot sooner than you think.
Let's take Jasper up to her room, Laura.
Hold on. He's not going in the house.
Well, Jacko's in the house.
Well, I think Jack's a little bit different. He's going to stay in the barn.
You like him, don't you, Pa? And you'll like him even more.
He'll grow on you. Wait and see.
Oh, he's going to grow, that's for sure. Now, why don't you put him out in the barn?
Yes, Pa. Come on, Jasper.
Oh, boy. What a bad choice. I think, well, actually, does Carrie have a little bit of a line here? She might.
Jasper.
You earned her money, right?
Yeah, I like that the new DVDs have subtitles so I can actually understand what she's saying.
Are they accurate?
They're pretty accurate, yeah.
I would imagine the DVD would have the most accurate, but if you watch anything on Prime or Netflix, it almost seems like they hire somebody who just types really fast.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds close enough, you know. So they decide to bring Jasper to the school. Oh. Which is crazy, right? It's probably one of the most insane things that somebody could do. I mean, a raccoon, and everyone knows it, can be a very dangerous animal.
Yeah, exactly. And she's got it on, like, a little string leash, and she's just dragging it behind her like it's a cat on a leash.
Yeah, you know, and, well, even a cat shouldn't be on a leash. Should no. at the very least have a harness for this poor thing. So I'm going to play some of that, getting ready to get Jasper ready for school.
Hurry up, she's going to be late for school.
She's outside.
With Jasper.
Yes, today's the day Jasper's going to school.
What are you going to do, teach him to read and write now?
Well, there's talk so much about it, all the other kids want to see it.
Miss Beetle said she could bring him, huh?
She said she'd like to see Jasper, too.
Stand up and ask for your breakfast. That's it. Ask for it like a good boy.
She just drops the egg. You know, this isn't really training anyone.
Not really.
But Jasper seems like a cute little animal, I guess. And guess what? That doll is long forgotten. The doll is never brought up again.
I mean,
really.
The doll can't beg for its breakfast.
You know, not only did Mary get to keep the 11 cents that she had saved, but she took this animal away from its own personal habitat.
Exactly.
And, you know, and forced it to be domesticated. It just doesn't seem to be fair to the poor animal.
I mean, and when she originally found it, she was petting it. The thing was naughty, and the thing didn't turn around and, like, bite her. I mean, that would have been it if, like, you bit me. No, never mind. I got to think of a plan B here.
Yeah, and, you know, right from the beginning, if we had just listened to Jack, we would have known that there was something bad going on. Jack does one of the craziest things in this episode, too. And I'm sure you noticed it. When they're walking this poor animal on the rope, Jack goes at this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks real to me. It looks like there's some type of action going on between these two. Jack does not like that raccoon in real life, I think.
I don't think so. I think dogs, honestly, are almost like it's in their blood not to like.
Not mine. Know, mine went right up to animal. It and smelled it. Like, what are you? Can I hump you? That's basically what my dog is. He's a dad twice, actually.
Yeah, can you imagine if Jack started doing that to Jasper? Like, what are you doing? Get off him!
That's what my poodle is named Toodles, and worst name ever. And yeah, he pretty much humps anything. It's really adorable, actually. It's not.
Then Paul and Caroline would have to have the birds and the bees talk a little early.
Yeah, exactly. That's Jack talking about what he thinks of this raccoon. So here we are. We're in the school. Miss Beetle, Miss Beetle is sitting with the kids. You know, she's one of the students being taught by Laura.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
Children, we've all seen raccoons before, but can anyone tell me what they eat?
Herbage? Yeah.
Fruit? Mm-hmm. Bugs? Fish. They eat fish.
Birds and eggs.
Fruit, fish, birds and eggs?
Mm-hmm. And bugs.
And toes.
And bugs, is that right, Laura?
She doesn't even acknowledge poor Willy. And toes! No.
Yeah, sure. It's like, you know this for a fact, do you?
Exactly.
That's correct. Except for bugs. Also, raccoons eat meat.
Toes are meat.
Toes are meat.
Okay, Willy, we need to have a conversation.
And, you know, it's funny because really almost no one is even responding to him. It's so funny.
It's like, oh, that Willie. He's always coming up with off-the-wall comments.
Quote, unquote, toes are meat.
Ugh.
Willie, we have raccoons around our place all the time. Nothing so special about them.
I agree with this kid a lot.
Yeah, really?
Jasper's trained. That makes him special.
I quite agree, Laura.
Would you like to see Jasper eat an egg?
Oh, yeah!
Very much.
And he eats the egg. I mean, it's... you give food to an animal and they'll eat it. You know, have you ever seen a squirrel eating a peanut? It's adorable.
I think it's the fact that, I mean,
it's a wild animal.
What raccoons look like, but the fact that someone has one as a pet, like, oh, watch it do this.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I bet you this is genuinely a trained animal.
Oh, yeah.
I hope. Right, you never know. Michael Landon's like, ah, forget, we don't need a trained animal. Just get this one out of the trash. We have dozens of these things. I'm not paying for that. So a lot happens in a very short amount of time. We learn that the church is very, very prejudiced against rodents. They don't allow raccoons at the church.
Oh, definitely not.
But at the school, which is the same building, they do allow it. Laura leaves the barn open as they're going to church. And the thing is that we've all seen what their barn looks like. That really nothing was going to hold the raccoon.
No.
He would have just leaped out of the window.
I mean, they have thing, you know, they can dig and stuff.
Yeah, it's not like you have a concrete floor.
Exactly.
But so Jasper makes his way into the little house. Jack is barking like crazy. Jack can't climb, apparently.
No.
And Jasper's just kind of walking around and making a mess. You know, just doing what raccoons would do, I guess.
I feel bad for, I mean, that pie must have taken forever to make, and now it's on the floor. He doesn't even eat it.
You know, there's so much. It's just like, it's like if a cat starts walking around.
Exactly. Just starts foot. Look, this can go. This is in my way. Get out of here.
This is what you do if you want to reenact this. You set up your Thanksgiving dinner table and you put a cat on it.
Yep.
And you see what happens in a matter of slowly too. That's what I love about cats. They'll do it very slowly. They get back and Jack is barking like crazy. He can't, you know. Clearly there's something wrong, but they don't notice it.
Really? Like, oh, he's going crazy.
Like, well, I'm
going
to let you in. Like, what?
What's the matter? Jack, what's the matter?
What's the like good pie you made?
Sure.
Yeah, it's mixed with sawdust now. Jasper comes running out. The house is a mess.
Yeah, that 5-second rule expired a while ago. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, geez. Saw this coming, I think.
Yeah, it's just like that one, all it needed was one little thing. Like, nope, that's it. Well, I told you.
You know, I mean, I can't really blame them for not wanting to have
this. He was just looking for an excuse, and he found it.
Luckily, the porcelain figurine did not get knocked off the mantle. He didn't make his way to the mantle. But Pa's like, here, take this, and hands Carrie to Ma. I thought he was going to go for the gun, personally.
Yeah, really.
That raccoon is going to go. Let me take a while.
You're a bad boy, Jasper, sneaking into the house and spilling all that food like you did. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I'm sorry,
Hep Pine,
that's it.
So Pa takes the raccoon for a ride. And you know what?
Why did she think that her disciplining, like, Pa, I'm telling him no, bad boy. It's fine.
Yeah, she's trying to discipline him, but Pa's still being Pa, though. Pa's like, I'm going to take him out to the woods, and I'm not going to just kill him in the sack. I'm going to let him go. I'm going to take the time. To do this right. I'm going to do it the Eagles way.
We don't even know how far away he even went. I doubt he even went that far.
I bet you this is Pa we're talking about. He did the right thing. He even put on a coat. Just remember, he's like, I don't know how long this is going to take. I think he's more angry about the pie.
Oh, yeah. It's like, gosh, I was really looking forward to that pie.
All he talked about. So Pa gets back. From some type of long trek. We don't really, like you said, we're not really sure how long this took. And some more visual. But he comes back, and Jasper's right there.
I'd be like, wait, I just, but yeah. You were, how did you?
So Pa makes him a cage, a type of cage. Did you happen to look at this cage?
It is held together with string and bits of wood. And I'm like, there's no way. That thing could just, like, stretch out and it would just break.
This, but it's made of about, I'm going to say, 150 perfectly straight sticks.
Yeah.
All beautifully strung together. This would take me 6 months to make this.
Yeah.
You know, he probably made it on the way back. He probably, you know, put the horses on cruise control and just kind of whittled this thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's in there. They have the raccoon in this kind of little cage, actually.
He can barely move around in it.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I'm surprised they didn't just make, I guess they want something open air. It is, it's a travel cage, really.
Yeah. You gotta be able to breathe.
His little hands are trying to get out of it.
Get back! Mary, could you hold that, please?
Hi, Jasper. It even has, like, a locking mechanism, I mean.
Oh, wow. Kind of like a real regular animal carrier.
Right. One of our dogs was raised to be crated, and it really is not something we love.
Mm-hmm.
But the dog will not go to sleep unless the cage is closed.
Oh,
he's really
wow.
upset if our other dog goes in the cage. You know, it's like his room. So he's really super comfortable in there. That's why we know he's done something bad when he's in there and when, you know, we're just kind of around the house, which is like 80% of the time. So
my cat hates her carrier. Luckily, I don't have to take her to the vet very often, but I have to, like, trick her. And, like,
oh, God.
I have a slider on the side of the house where her little room is. And if I take that carrier out and she hears it, she is up the stairs under the bed. I'm like,
oh, my God.
All right, let me put it in this room, shut the door, come in through the slider, put you in there. And the top's already open. So it's like trying to shove her in and shut the door on the top.
Oh, my God.
Like,
does your cat talk and, like, yell at you while doing it? Because...
Yeah,
we had cats making sounds that I've never heard of before, like,
oh my.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, you poor animal. All you're going to do is be poked and prodded by a stranger on a cold table.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Poor cats and dogs. They go through so much. So, Laura's in there in this little cage. They have a huge farm, but they have to have, like...
I'm surprised he didn't launch himself at her as soon as she opened the door. Like, I'm out!
Yeah, right? It's like, maybe he's tied in there. Oh, no, he's not tied in there.
Jack, be quiet. Mary, would you tell him to be quiet? He's scaring Jasper.
Stop it! Stop it!
Jasper, get back. Get back. Get back. It's okay, Jasper. I won't let Jack hurt you.
Yeah, it's a
So, long story short, Laura goes to put the food and water, I guess, and Jasper totally bites her.
Right? Well, because, yeah, he's eating, and she goes to pet him. He's like, I'm eating, leave me alone.
Yeah, my dog will do that, too.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm sorry, but no one wants to be touched when they're eating. Like,
right, I'm like stuck in this cage, and you're putting food in, and now you're going to pet my head?
Yeah.
This starts the kind of moment where promises are forced to be made. And basically, if Mary had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
No.
Maybe it would have still happened, kind of, because...
And Laura just chalks it up, like, oh, it's just a scratch.
Yes.
Mary, look, it's fine. I can pop a Band-Aid on. It's good.
It's like, promise me, promise me.
Yeah, like, it's your room. You brought him here.
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of a little bit shady. Next day, we have Laura holding her head, which I think was a sign of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of went away. She wasn't showing any symptoms of rabies or any illness. And we have Carrie's next line, which is this.
Good night, Pa.
Okay, very nice. Very good. $10,000 for you.
Goes right into your college fund once you hit 18.
And when she does that, they all turn to her and laugh. Which I'm just... You did it, Carrie. You got your line in.
You got your word count in for the day. Good for you.
I'll say this, though. I like Carrie more than I like Mary.
Oh, gosh, yes. Of course.
I even like the God Sister, which I know is a controversial episode. I'd like to have that as a three-part episode.
Oh, really?
Yes, in 3D, all types of stuff. It actually probably would have been the best candidate to be a 3D Little House on the Prairie episode.
Oh, definitely.
So, at this point, the raccoon is not doing well. Like, we're just not having a good time, you know? Mm-hmm. And everybody's mad at Pa again, but so Pa turns to Laura and starts talking about your best friend Jack, no mention of the doll, and all this kind of weird stuff starts happening around the dinner table.
I know you feel bad. Hey, got your best friend, your old dog Jack, right here.
You know what I'm leaving out is that fact that after biting Laura, Jasper went and fought with Jack and then ran away.
Yeah.
But Laura's all like, darn it. My wild animal escaped. That animal I stole got away.
She didn't. I don't even think she even looked at Jack. Like, oh, he's hurt. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Jasper's gone, though.
It's really sad, I think.
He really gets the end, short end of the stick.
Yeah. But Pa starts talking about some stuff, and it's starting to hit home.
It's all his fault. Jasper's gone.
Wasn't Jack's fault. Jasper bit him.
What? She wasn't even provoked.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, you take away Mary's credit card and she'll spill the beans. You know, it's immediately. It takes 35 seconds.
Mary English, you promised not to tell.
Now hold on a minute. What's this all about? When did that happen?
When Jasper ran off.
That's not me panting, that is Jack.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Laura Ingalls, Jack was lucky. You know, a raccoon like that could tear a dog apart. I know you feel bad, but it's better for everybody. It's better for us, and it's better for Jasper. Now you go on, finish your homework.
Yes, sir.
So, all of a sudden, Mary just looks kind of like, I told a lie, I'm going to hell.
Oh, God.
Right? That night, Jasper comes back to visit the family. But it's not really the family that he wants to spend time with.
No.
We see him going into the chicken coop and all types of stuff, and we hear a lot of stuff. And it's at 20...
Do you think that a bunch of chickens would be able to take on one raccoon, especially one the size of two chickens?
No.
I don't think so.
You know what? Kim Layer actually has chickens on her homestead. So I want to ask her what she thinks of that. I believe that an animal such as a raccoon or really a fox would be able to destroy chickens easily.
Because they got the raccoons got the fingers and stuff like that. So I understand paws. Like a raccoon like that could tear a dog apart, and it's made me think of a chimpanzee's got fingers too, and they can yank someone's arm right out of their socket.
Yeah, I would imagine that a raccoon would do some serious damage to people too. I would just,
oh yeah.
But at 26 minutes and 15 seconds, we have a shirtless Pa, a very tanned wax chest. We have he's got the suspenders rocking. You know, he's ready to go outside and see what's up. He hears this music playing. He's like, something's got to be up.
Yeah.
He goes to investigate the noise, and it's really a visual thing. But he takes the, what do you call this? The hay stick?
Oh, the pitchfork, yeah.
Pitchfork and the hay stick. I'm a city boy. The hay stick, you know, the thing in that painting?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes the pitchfork and basically takes care of the raccoon because this thing is this is destroying some of their livelihood. This is Ma has an egg production line going, you know, at the Ingalls Mercantile.
Yeah, bringing them to the Mercantile if he wants to pay off that bill and afford stuff for everybody.
I called it the Ingalls Mercantile, but it's the Olson's Mercantile. That's on Dimension B right there. I would love to have seen an episode, right, where they imagine that they own the Mercantile and it's the Olsons as the farmers. I would have loved that to be a two-parter, maybe even a three-parter.
Yeah.
In 3D. But, you know, once the ratings were dipping, they should have tried stuff like that. I think it would have been a lot of fun.
Definitely. Yeah. Just flip it on its head like that.
Yeah, that would have been so funny. I would have just loved that. All right. You know, if you flipped everyone, kind of, like if you had, like, Hansen as the doc.
Oh.
It's like, I don't know what you're saying. Take morphine? Yeah, it would have been really, really funny, I think. Anyway, I would have loved, now I'm, like, thinking about it in my head, the scenario. I would have loved to see Karen Grassley play the Harriet character, even once.
Would have been definitely something to see.
Yeah.
With that soft voice of hers trying to be angry.
We've seen it from time to time. It happens And I think she would have been an excellent Harriet.
Oh, I bet.
Would have been so funny. All right. But it doesn't exist. Maybe if we have an animator out there, we can. But a lot of these people are still around, like Karen Grassley. So maybe she could voice the character on an animation. That would be great. I'd pay
for
that. So he goes out there and he goes, look, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news, well, the bad news first. I killed the raccoon. I killed your best friend, Jasper. But the good news is we have this coonskin hat now.
Yeah, exactly. He turns wearing it.
Which I looked
up. I'll get it this day.
You can buy a Davy Crockett coonskin hat with a real tail. In medium, on Amazon Prime, for $12.90.
Is it authentic, or is it imitation?
It says it's a real tail.
Oh, the tail is real, but nothing else.
Yeah, I don't know about the other. But I will investigate. There's this really great place that I know that will carry it, called Gray Owl, where they sell like really wonderful feathers and beads. And if you go to grayowl.com, probably. They sell a lot of Native American and 19th century type of things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look for it right after this. I bet you they sell a coonskin kit where you get it and you make your own.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I love that kind of nerdy stuff. So Laura's feeling like crap. I mean, who wouldn't? She still isn't really too worried that her dog was bitten by this thing.
Really? I mean, yeah, she's just like, it's your fault, he's gone.
Why don't you just die?
Like, you know,
So Laura's blaming herself here.
It's all my fault. I'm the one who fed Jasper the eggs. I spoiled him on eggs.
He was all egged up. He was craving those eggs. Ma's eggs are the best, and some are double yolks.
He needed to get his fix.
Yeah, he needed his egg fix. He's on the E.
Thank you.
Hey, hold on now. It's not your fault. Now, you think that's the first raccoon that ever went after a chicken?
How about 30 chickens? How about our, like, livelihood? Don't let her get off so easily.
Exactly.
This is an opportunity to go, look, we tried it. Now you know never to bring a disgusting rodent into this house again.
Exactly.
It's in his nature, Half Point. Nothing he could do about it. Nothing you could do about it. There's nobody to blame.
It's all my fault.
Oh.
You were right.
So, yeah, I mean, I still blame Mary because that doll was the real
she trigger. Brought it in there. I mean, Laura, I mean, shouldn't have put that doll where it was.
Yeah, like it's...
She fell backwards and just...
Yeah,
like I thought she was going to get cut up by that broken doll's face.
Big klutz. actually, it would have been even better, I guess, if Carrie had fallen on the doll.
Really? Carrie?
Yeah, like that might have been actually a little bit better. And then you have the cute little moment where it's like, do you hate me? "Oh, Carrie, we never hate you."
No.
So Ma goes in to check on Pa, who's in the barn, probably cleaning up the mess.
Oh,
I can only imagine.
Here you go, Jack.
Oh, that's terrible. You think if we cook it long enough, get a little...
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's fresh. We start... I mean, I think as viewers, we know what's coming, but the reality is starting to set in about what's going on here. He's, he has Jack's head in his hands. I think Pa's the one who's closest with Jack.
Oh, I think so, too.
And, you know, just as an aside, Michael Landon in general, like, being, you know, we all love Michael Landon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think he loved animals, too. Like, he just seems to be so close to this animal. And, or at least he's selling it very well.
Yeah.
He's definitely a dog person, not a cat person. Which, no, but I think sometimes it's the cat or the dog that chooses you over you choosing them.
I think so. I mean, my cat chose my husband the day I brought her home. And I'm just like,
eh. I like both. I love cats, but I find that they're a little too much work for my lifestyle. I do not like the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just couldn't. It's just not something that I ever want to have to do again. But I love cats.
If you were dealing with a raccoon, would you go shirtless? Like, here, I'm going to go after the raccoon. It's like, you're bare-chested. The thing could scratch you, and you're infected. You're leaving yourself vulnerable and open.
Yeah, but think about how good a scratch would look. How cool.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Ma would love that. She'd be popping up the popcorn right away.
You're right.
Stay there.
What's the matter?
The raccoon was rabid. That's why I buried him in the chicken so fast so no one would touch him.
Yeah, poor Jack is going to get buried soon.
Oh, God.
It gets close. We get close. And we do learn that the animal drew blood from Jack. Along comes Mary moseying into things that she doesn't need to be moseying into. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been a good idea if Pa let them know, don't untie Jack. And I also want you to realize that right now we're all going through the new social distancing. It's like the new buzzword, right? And people should get an award for being the social distance warrior, you know,
mm-hmm.
people out there, you know, basically doing their best. So that's basically the whole thing here. We need to stay away from Jack because he might be rabid. But he says, stay away. But she's like right next to him the whole time. This whole scene, she's not more than a foot away.
Jack, who did that to you? Who tied you up?
Mary? Believe me.
Pa comes in with another pitchfork. This one's like a huge one. And he even has next to Jack the pitchfork he used. I think it's the same one.
I hope
get friendly with this. You know, well, he's thinking, why am I going to waste water if I'm just going to kill Jack?
Exactly.
Oh, this is all so sad.
Bury the pitchfork later.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Why? What's he done?
It's what you've done, Mary.
Yeah.
You haven't done anything, eh? I didn't want to say anything last night, but there's a chance that he may have rabies.
All right, so let's get on to a little bit of rabies, like the history of rabies.
Because it also gets called hydrophobia in this episode. And I'm thinking of Old Yeller. I think they didn't say rabies. They say hydrophobia.
Yeah, I never saw Old Yeller. I mean, I know what it's about and everything, but I that's on my list of American movies that I've never
seen. And then, of course, you have Cujo, which is the end-all, be-all rabid dog movie.
Yeah, you know, Cujo was originally named Jack. No, I'm kidding. He was actually Jasper. But people probably know this already, but rabies is a viral disease that causes inflammation of the brain in humans and any other mammal. Mm-hmm. And it shows the symptoms include fever and tingling, where it was actually, like if you get a bite on that area, it would become hot and tingle. But the symptoms are violent movement and uncontrolled excitement, fear mm-hmm. of water, which is always fear one of those kind of weird yeah. ones. And a lot of different type of, an inability to move parts of your body. You become confused and, you can faint. So
there's an episode. I only saw some of it of Dr. Quinn where a dog gets bit by a rabid, maybe it's a raccoon, I don't know. And of course bites this girl. And we see the effects of rabies taking over this girl. I can't think of the episode, but it's like, I remember just her tied to the bed and foaming at the mouth.
It's crazy. And it's an incubation time of 1 to 3 months in humans.
So yeah.
It's all very, you know, wild. But I looked up a little bit and some of the folk remedies that maybe we need to try for other things. I'm kidding, of course, but they would prescribe something called a poultice of cloth. I don't know what that is. And hyena skin something.
That's got to be hard to come. Hyena skin? They're making a special trip out to Africa for that?
Well, believe it or not, Africa is a place where people still get rabies and die. I believe it's about 15,000 people die every year of rabies.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's pretty incredible. But one of the preparations... In making this mixture of poultice of cloth and hyena skin, they would also recommend that the preparation be made in the skull of a hanged man.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like, where do we get a hanged man? What's that guy doing? normally death is caused by respiratory arrest, and you just shut down. Now, there have been 49 cases of the disease reported in our country, in the U.S., between 1995 and 2011. I don't know about the past 9 years, but this is the thing, is almost all domestically acquired cases are attributed to bat bites, which kind of falls in line with what we're kind of going in through now with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious if in the future we're going to have to figure a way of doing something with bats.
Mm-hmm.
I just built a bat house in my backyard. We used to have this really huge old tree that seemed to be, we had it removed because I feel like a bad storm would have destroyed, it would have collapsed and fallen on my garage.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect spot. I built a very simple bat house. And we do get bats in there, but now I'm wondering, is that really a great idea for my backyard? But I don't think we have anything to worry about with bats here right now. But it's just kind of interesting. Louis Pasteur was somebody who worked a lot on a vaccine, and he even started treating people before he was doing any type of animal testing. So it was a very controversial thing, but it wasn't until, I believe, 18... I don't have this number. I'm kind of remembering this. I could be wrong here. It could be 1905, actually. 1905, a vaccine was first. It's either 1895 or 1905. A vaccine for rabies was introduced, and then it was perfected maybe 10 or 15 years later. Maybe not perfected, but improved upon. So if you got it in 1874...
you were done.
It was pretty much fatal. Yeah, there was... It was viral, and it would just basically really screw you up. Not a great thing to have.
Mm-mm. It's got to be a really bad way to die. I mean, you're dying just delusional, and you don't know what's what and in pain.
But thankfully, Pa has that pitchfork. So in case things get bad. Now, I would imagine, personally, that there would be stories of cautionary tales to tell children. Kind of like, well, raccoons can get rabies. I guess dogs could too, right? So,
Oh, that, well, if they're not vaccinized, I know my cat is up for her rabies vaccination. It's good for 3 years. So.
But I mean, 1874.
Oh, no, no. There's nothing out there to protect animals.
I wouldn't even want a dog in my house, I think.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm not sure about sheep and other type of animals. I don't know if they can get rabies. But I guess if they're a mammal, they can get rabies.
Yeah, there's really nothing to keep them from not getting it.
So we go back. The episode is starting to get kind of sad.
Yeah.
And here we go. We threaten Mary with taking away some jelly beans, and she spills those beans.
Jasper, Laura.
Not one tear.
I really, and you're just telling me this now?
It's like 6 weeks later. Oh, my God, Mary, you killed your sister.
Really? This all happened because of you. You brought that thing here.
I made a promise. It's like, what other promises did you make, you lunatic?
Yeah.
We should get the judge to come in. Oh, boy. All right, so we bring in a doc, all right, and it's like, oh, boy. And they show the bite, and it's kind of red, and it doesn't look great to me.
Yeah, you know what it makes me think of? Because it's like that half moon mark. It makes me think, did she get bit by a vampire?
Yes. Yes. Bats.
4 days ago, you say?
That's right, Doc.
Well, then we better start treatment immediately. One gumdrop to be taken internally.
Thank you. Then I don't have to take any medicine?
For a little bite like that, no.
Little bite? Get your eyes checked, Doc. Jeez.
Just I love how he sugar coats it for Laura. Like, oh, one gumdrop.
I think it was a smooth move, but...
Oh, definitely. I mean, they're not going to... He's not going to be like, well, Laura, actually, what you have is... it's devastating, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, boy. So Ma's, like, seeing through this. Ma's like...
Oh, yeah, like, okay.
Like, I'm a pro at this. Like, yeah. Give it to me straight.
Doctor, does she?
It's too early to tell, Mrs. Engels.
How long before we know?
And this is where we get a little bit of the cold truth of the treatments that existed for rabies back at this period.
Yeah.
Watch the dog.
Watch your own.
Hydrophobia in a dog. Runs its course from start to finish in about 8 days. The incubation period for a girl Laura's age is anywhere from 3 weeks to a month.
My gosh.
Actually, one to three months.
Yeah.
Jeez. But maybe that's an adult, now that I think about it. Maybe kids, it goes
quicker. And plus, he's probably going, I mean, if there's been any type of cases beforehand for him to even gather that information from, I mean...
I think rabies was a pretty big deal back
then. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If the dog doesn't develop rabies, chances are Laura won't.
Another perfect time for Harriet to come in. Oh, hello! You know.
Yeah, like, really.
What's wrong? You know.
Rabies!
Totally inappropriate.
If worse comes to worse... What kind of treatment will you give her?
Another gumdrop?
Yeah. All the gumdrops you're going to eat?
Yeah.
Pitchfork?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no treatment. I don't believe that there is no treatment because I don't believe that human beings can walk this earth and allow somebody to just die.
Exactly.
I don't personally buy into that.
Well, I hear, like, the treatment they got now is not,
I've heard stories. Is that it? Is that true, though?
That's what I hear, painful shots to the stomach.
That's what I grew up hearing, but I don't know if I believe it. Here. Why do the stomach just doesn't make sense? I'm going to look into that. I have a feeling that it's probably like a nasal spray. It's probably something
nowadays,
that's like no big deal.
It probably might be.
Well, I always thought that that was the story that people would tell you, like, don't go near that rabid dog. You're going to have to get shots in the stomach.
Well, they even say, it's like, you have a short amount of time. Like, you get bit, you go right to the emergency room. You don't wait for 3 days. Like, I think I got bit by something that was rabid. Well, yeah. You know what? You should have been here sooner.
Yeah, but nowadays, it's kind of like, I'm dizzy. You better go to the emergency room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to know, then I'm just going to have to tell you, all right?
Because Laura's like, what's wrong with me, Pa?
A raccoon bite's a pretty serious thing. First thing happens, you start getting these big black circles around your eyes. Then your ears get all pointy and they stick up like that. You get an awful craving for raw eggs.
Are you teasing?
No, you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jack is starting to show a fear of water, which is just not a good thing. Pa goes to him in the morning. He's like, I don't want your damn water.
No.
And this, of course, is one of those symptoms. So if Jack has rabies, of course, Laura has rabies.
Yeah.
And we're just not really sure. We have a cute little moment here where Mary turns to Laura and says, do you hate me, Laura? And think, of course she can't say yes, but I think we as viewers, hate is a strong word.
Yeah.
But she's responsible. She brought this into the world. I'd play it, but it's, you know, I just don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
But she does come out with an interesting thing, because I think at this point, everybody's on edge. Everyone's like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. My child could be dying of this.
And they just lost their son. It's like, not my little girl.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's very, very sad. And again, this is all ramping it up. This is a wonderful Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
It's about family. It's about dealing with struggles, right?
Like waiting for the results. Right, is my kid going to live? Is she going to die?
Right. I feel like the coronavirus movie would make a great Thanksgiving movie. If it hopefully it ends up being happy. but... they're outside and they're kind of just talking, trying to deal with it. Pa's just looking at that stupid mangy dog. And Ma's just losing it, like any mother would. And Mary comes running out.
Ma? Laura's thirsty.
Okay. We are. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world, but Ma freaks out because...
Oh my gosh, you want water! It's like... Yeah. Calm down.
The doctor said it's a sign.
It's not a sign. The child is just thirsty. It's not a sign.
You made a very salty casserole, Caroline.
Yes. We're all thirsty.
Yeah, we're all dying of thirst. So they all go up into the loft, all of them except for Carrie. And they're all giving water. And she's like, I'm not thirsty anymore. All right. Pretty anticlimactic. We see Jack starting to freak out. Pa's looking out the window and Jack's like barking, like he's going crazy. He's really acting very erratic. So Pa loads his rifle because he's thinking, all right, look, I'm the man of this house and I have to take care of business.
Yeah.
It's not a modern rifle, actually. I do want to mention that. There were better rifles, and he's owned and possessed better rifles than this. So it's not really, you shouldn't have had to pack it the way he did. But anyway, So he takes his rifle and he's pointing it right at Jack. And what happens? Right as he's squeezing the trigger. You want to tell?
Jasper appears.
It's like, hey, buddy. Jasper pops up.
He puts his hands over his eyes.
It's a cute moment. Michael Landon's eyes are welling up. And we're all like relieved because we do not want Jack to die yet.
No. And it's just like, I'm surprised he didn't like, oh, shoot. Like, right. What?
The Jasper's back. Oh, and Jack's dead. Don't go in there. Oh my god. I also kind of questioned whether or not there were. All right, so there were two raccoons. How do we know Jack didn't get bit by them?
You could kind of tell because that one raccoon that went into the chicken house was huge. It was like a full grown big adult. Whereas Jasper, I don't know how long they had him, but I would say he's probably maybe what, 6 months to a year. Well, I don't know about a year. I'd say 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
he's probably an adolescent.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you question that when you're freaking out.
No,
like that.
Not really. Because when I was watching, I'm like, is that? Look how big and full.
So Pa sees that Jasper's okay, or rather Jasper's not the rabid raccoon, and goes to run in and tell them the great news.
It's all right. What? It's all right. Everything's all right.
What?
There were two raccoons. The one that killed the chickens. It wasn't Jasper.
No.
It's Jasper out there now. He sat up and begged. It was the prettiest sight I ever saw.
It's like, try harder
next. Oh, now you want him.
You're right. It's like, hey, Mary, try harder next time.
Yeah.
You're all right. It's all right.
Is that Jack's all right?
That pine Jack is just beautiful.
All of a sudden, she cares about Jack.
Yeah, really?
I don't know what's going on with that.
Why don't you go and untie him?
And it's very sad.
I'm so upset because it's like, I've been out here tied for like 3 days. Of course he's got to be like, get me off this leash.
Plus he was barking at the raccoon. Exactly. He hates that raccoon.
I think he needs to really look at his dog and see what an aggressive bark is versus I'm bored, get me off this thing.
Yeah, I love this episode personally.
Yeah.
I don't remember this episode being in heavy rotation when I was a kid, but I don't know. I look at it, I think this is a perfect end of the holiday, well, the beginning of the holiday season, really. The next episode would be The Voice of Tinker Jones, which would not air until December 4th.
Well, one thing about Jasper, and I had to rewind it a couple times, and of course, now that we have these remastered DVDs, they pick up anything.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jasper just standing tall. I'm like, they need to put like a sensor bar over his middle.
Oh, yeah? Oh, God. Look at me!
We get it, Jasper. You're a teenage raccoon. Put it away.
Sounds like my dog. poor Toodles. So, Toodles would love Jasper. Male or female, doesn't matter. He loves my other male dog a lot, too. Yeah, he's a little pervert. So, do you want to just mention your podcast again and where people could find it? And again, I'll put a link to everything in the show notes.
Definitely.
And, of course, please post on the Facebook group and share with everyone because I've listened to your show and I think it's a lot of fun to listen to and it's a ton of information.
Yeah. Well, the first one, Punky Power, you can find that on iTunes and SoundCloud. You will also find Together We're Going to Find Our Way, Silver Spoons podcast. I also have, now that is a clean podcast. The Looking Back at My Wonder Years podcast is rated E for explicit.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Is it PG-13 or is it rated R?
But it balances between PG-13 and R.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. But I also do on that one, I do a lot of, I do movie reviews and different shows and stuff like that too. So you're going to find the bulk of it between those two platforms.
Awesome. And I'll put a link to everywhere. Please post any of your favorite episodes. But Angela Bowen, I really appreciate you taking the time today to speak with me about this. I'm sorry about the technical difficulty.
That's okay.
Nobody was even aware of except for us.
Exactly. Yep.
I found that I was talking to myself, which is pretty much my life. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And Angela Bowen, find her on the Facebook group. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting One Up Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/OneUpGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.